to this morning's message, I'm going to ask the elders and pastors to come up, and we're going to pray for some of the youth that are leaving this morning to go off to college, and some of the youth that have already left either to go off to college or to work, and just commission them off. So, Jay, Stephanie, you want to come up here? And Hannah, you're sticking around for a year. You want to come up here? And so, yeah, we just wanted to let you know kind of which youth are leaving. There's some that have already left. And, yeah, just pray God's blessing on them as they continue to grow in the Lord apart from us for this year, or some still with us. So, Lord, thank you for these youth and the fact that now they're graduated, Lord, and their desire is to still continue to live for you. And it's not a faith that they're just living on based on what their parents believe, but they've eternalized it for themselves, Lord. And I pray that you would continue to draw them close to you and challenge them to be close to yourself, Lord. And that this next year would be a year of growth for these three individuals, and not just them, Lord, but the ones that have already left, God, that you would just protect them and guide them, cause them to stay committed to you and persevere in their faith, cause them to connect to local believers wherever they go and be challenged in their faith in you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Sure, I don't have a mic.
I just want to say thank you guys for helping raise us. We're going to be praying for you guys as we go. And thank you so much for praying for us. God bless. And Stephanie's getting baptized after church, so it's coming past you.
So yeah, as Jay mentioned, we do have a couple baptisms, Stephanie and Cassidy, taking place at 2:30 out at Crimson. And so that should give people enough time to go grab something to eat and then meet us out there. You're all welcome to join in on that. And also, if there's somebody, you know, else who's feeling that's what they want to do this afternoon, we're open to that too. So be praying about that. This morning, the message we're looking at is part of our four-part sermon series on the vision for the church. This banner up here, connecting to God, connecting to others, ministry and mission. And last week, Kyle explained, you know, what it is to make that connection with God, that initial connection, to surrender our hearts completely to the message of the gospel. And this morning, we'll be looking at the second part to that, connecting to others. So last week in your bulletins, we had this here. If you weren't here last week and didn't get one of these, there's more on the church welcome board as soon as you walk in the doors. And it just kind of explains to everyone, you know, how we're going to be accomplishing that and what our vision is for this upcoming year as elders and as a church. And so, connecting to others. And if we'll start off and we'll be looking at a few passages in the book of Hebrews, and we'll go from there. So the first passage, Hebrews 10, 23 to verse 25. This is what it says. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. And that's what we want to be as a body of believers, a body that is constantly encouraging each other and challenging each other to hold firm to Christ and to live a life that honors Christ. You know the old kind of saying, you know, you miss church, and then the joke is, well, I guess I'm going to get a call from the pastor or a visit from one of the elders because I missed church this Sunday. You know, we're not going to do that. That's not what we do here. But it's interesting. In this passage, it says, don't let that become a habit, right? Obviously, it's understandable. You're not going to make it to church every time. But it's when we find ourselves forming a habit of just not fellowshipping with other believers, you know? And then pretty soon we become Christians who only come on Easter or Christmas, right? And so just to encourage you, that's one of the things we want to do this year is to really connect with each other, you know, on Sundays. And Greg will be sharing next week on a prayer and share time that we're going to be incorporating. But just to give you an opportunity to come here, be challenged in Christ and encouraged in the upcoming week. But as we see in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12 to 14, there's more to it than just once a week. See to it, brothers and sisters, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. But encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. We come to share in Christ, if indeed we hold our original conviction firmly to the very end. We're to encourage one another daily. It was interesting this week on Thursday night. One of my friends from high school stopped in Rocky to visit us, and we went out for supper, and afterwards, me and him went for a walk for a couple hours, and he just opened up and started talking to God about me, and he was kind of raised going to church, but, you know, that was the extent of it. So I said, well, do you still believe in God? He said, well, yeah, I believe in God. So, but he kept calling himself an atheist. And I said, well, you do know that an atheist is somebody who doesn't believe in God at all. And he said, well, no, I'm an atheist because even though I believe in God, I don't live it out Monday through Friday. So therefore, in my actions, I'm an atheist. So I call myself an atheist because I don't want to be a hypocrite. And I just thought that was interesting how he came across that way. And even as he understands that it's supposed to be a daily thing where we're supposed to be living for Christ, encouraging others to do the same. And so, you know, that sometimes doesn't happen Sunday mornings here. I know sometimes you come and you maybe get to talk to one or two other people, and that's about it, you know, before or after the service. And so we want to provide as a church other opportunities for you to connect with others and to be encouraged throughout the week and on a daily basis. And in here it kind of describes how we want to accomplish that, and that's through various discipleship groups. We got our small groups, men's ministry, women's ministry, other things there, Faith Finders, youth, young adults, 50-plus group, ladies' hymn sing, all these different ministries. They're not just for program's sake. They're to get people in the church, believers, connected to other believers so that they can be challenged and grow throughout the week as well, like on a different night of the week, maybe. And also, we want the connections in that group and the fellowship to go so deep that people are actually starting to call each other and phone each other during the week and talk to each other and encourage each other to go deeper and pray for one another. It's interesting, one thing the youth at the school started doing at near the end of last year, and they're starting it up again this year, is before they go to class every morning, they meet in the common gathering area, and they just, you know, it quickly, 10 minutes in prayer, and encourage one another before they start the day to go into the classes. And so that's happening. It's neat because it's happening, you know, some youth from our church and some also from different churches coming together in the high school to encourage one another so that they won't be, you know, high school's such a hard place to be and easy to walk away from your faith because of all the temptations and the trials. So they're really standing up and encouraging one another. And so I know that's happening with lots of small groups too, is I've heard stories of that where people, it's not just a once-a-week thing getting together, but it's the actual care about each other and challenging each other to go deeper. And we need to be doing that like this verse in Hebrews 3 says. Encourage one another daily as long as it's called today so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. If we're not actively trying to grow, if we're not actively being pressed in to encouraged to press on in our faith, then that's sometimes what happens, is sin creeps in and apathy creeps in, and then we soon find ourselves walking away. So encourage you in that area, you know, if you're not connected somewhere, to look seriously at where you can be connected and how you can be challenged to grow this upcoming year. This is really what the early church was all about. We see this in Acts chapter 2, verse 42. Says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. And so when I read that, you know, I kind of figure our churches in North America, we have a ways to go in the area of being connected to each other and being a church community and a church body. And so when you look at those verses, just use that as an encouragement of, hey, we're not there yet, and we need to keep devoted to one another and to be growing in that area. Obviously, that's going to take some different gifts, and Kyle's going to be speaking next week on how to get connected to ministry. But, you know, to be this connected in a community, gifts like hospitality are going to have to come out. Obviously, giving heart here. Some people are selling property as they had, you know, excess property and given to people in need. There was a lot of sharing going on, giving heart. There's prayer, there's teaching, fellowship, different things like that. And so, you know, we need to continue to grow as a body, and I trust that we will continue to grow as we allow the Holy Spirit to work in our hearts. Sometimes I think we view maybe our salvation and even baptism as kind of, well, we made a decision, now I'm good, and we're good to go. We're kind of in baby mode right now at our house, one month away from our due date, and so it's been on our minds, so I'm just going to use a little illustration from that. Imagine we have this baby, we come home from the hospital, say, and we just decide, oh, this baby, it's been born, it's good to go. So we just leave the baby on its own. It's not going to survive, right? Baby needs time to learn, to take care of itself, needs to be taken care of off the start, needs to be fed, needs to be taught, right? But how many times, I think, do we fall short as people when we introduce, say, friends to Christ, or they come into our churches and they become born again, and then we kind of just leave them alone and neglect them and expect that they're going to continue to grow and follow Christ? We need to take up the mantle and teach those people and challenge them and cause them to become mature, so that they can stand firm against the enemy's schemes. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11 to 14 speaks of this. We have much to say about this, but it is hard to make it clear to you because you no longer try to understand. In fact, though, by this time you ought to be teachers. You need somebody to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. So, on our part, it goes our, you know, on us is to reach out and help disciple and train others. And we'll be talking about that next week, how to get involved in ministry. But on everybody else's part, say you become a new believer, you've recently accepted Christ, then that's on you to say, hey, I want to get connected, I want to devote myself to being taught and to understanding, I want to grow up and mature, I want to learn, so that one day I can stand firm and distinguish good from evil. It's interesting, you know, the Bible, or the next chapter, Hebrews 6, talks about how they kept having to lay a foundation in that church of repentance from dead works. And when I think of that, dead works, the Bible says that all our works are like filthy rags. So when we first come to Christ, that means that if we've repented from our dead works, then we're going to have a lot of free time on our hands, right? And if we don't replace it with Christ, if we don't replace it with growing and maturity in Christ, then it's just going to fill back up with things that are dragging us down and things of this world. And so it goes both ways, you know, like we have to, yes, repent of our dead works. We have to come to a saving faith in Christ, but there needs to be that change involved and that commitment to it. We had one Bible school professor, when we got on the subject of eternal security, he wouldn't get into the argument. He just said, I believe in the security of the eternal believer. And I think that's how we need to live, is to eternally devote ourselves to believing and persevering in our faith. And that's going to take a plan. You know, if we've repented from our dead works, well, now I need to focus on how to grow in Christ and start living according to his purposes, his ways, and for his glory. And that's going to take some teaching. So we're not just free from sin when we come to Christ, but we start to walk in that freedom as we move forward in our relationship with Christ. Like I said, we're having a couple baptisms after the service at 2:30 at Crimson. And as I was looking at the subject of baptism this week, I came across 1 Corinthians 10. And in it, Paul's talking about how, let's look at the nation of Israelite as examples. Okay, they were all baptized under the cloud of Moses. So they said, hey, we're Israelites, we're good to go, we're going to inherit the promised land, we're good, right? We're under Moses. And how many times maybe do we look at baptism and we think the same way, or repentance? Yeah, okay, I've said the sinner's prayer. Okay, I've been baptized, so I'm good to go. But Paul's very clear that that's not the end of things. That's the start. Now it's a life committed to growing in Christ. And we have to continue to grow. It says in 1 Corinthians 10, take heed lest you fall. You know, don't get prideful and think that, okay, I'm arrived, I got this figured out, and now I can just keep living my life the way I was living it. No, it's about committing to that growth process. And for me, that's such an exciting thing. And we need to, you know, grow in that area of coming alongside people and teaching them and discipling them. And also, we need to grow in the area of submitting ourselves to others to be discipled as well. Paul makes this kind of clear in Philippians chapter 3, verse 17. He says, join together in following my example, brothers and sisters. And just as you have us as a model, keep your eyes on those who live as we do. For as I have often told you before and now tell you again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomachs, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is set on earthly things, but our citizenship is in heaven. And we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control will transform our lowly bodies so that we will be like his glorious body. Paul's very much saying, hey, I'm living for Christ. Follow my example, and other people who are like me, follow their example. How many people here, you know, you have the argument whether you're a movie person or a book person? How many people are movie people? Like, they prefer watching the movie and reading the book, yeah. How many people are book people? A few, okay. So, myself, I'm a movie person. And probably because I don't have a very good imagination. So when I read a book, it's boring because I, like, can't come up with my own thing in my head. So, what's really Paul saying here? You know, we have the message of Christ. We have Christ's life described for us in the Bible. But sometimes we need to see that lived out as well, right? To really grasp what it looks like. To visibly see it. You know, we can't visibly see firsthand Christ's life. They didn't have cameras back then filming it. But we can be witnesses of somebody else as well, you know, living for Christ. And it's neat because, you know, it's the same. Like, so many times I hear people go to a movie and they say, oh, that movie, the director's butchered it. It was nothing like the book that was written about that movie. You know, nothing like it. It wasn't even close. I wouldn't recommend seeing the movie. Well, the Bible, it's the same author who wrote this as working in a fellow believer who is mature in Christ. And so it's not like some of these times where you have a different author and then a different director. You know, lots of these movies are remakes, so the author, it's a classical book, and so the author of that book's been maybe passed away for many years, and the director just kind of comes up with what they think the author meant by what he wrote and puts that to a film. Well, when we look at mature people's believers in our lives, when we look at their life and how they're living, it's the same spirit that worked to write this book as that is working in their hearts and lives. And so we can get a visible picture of what being Christ-like looks like. So we need to devote ourselves to study the word, but also fellowship with the believers, so that we can witness that too firsthand and maybe see that practically lived out and played out. Another thing Paul says in that passage is, "For as often as I told you before and now tell you again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is set on earthly things." Paul includes that there. You know, he's saying, follow my example, because there's these other people out there, right? And they're not really setting a good example of how to live and not being Christ-like. And so it'd be foolish to follow them. You should be following the pattern that we've set out for you and that's been set out by Christ originally. And I was just thinking of the illustration, you know, you bring this new baby home from the hospital, and what if that baby decided to, you know how, like, kids learn a ton in their first few years. It's just incredible how fast they grow. But what if the new baby decided, instead of learning from mom and dad, we have a pet dog, and the baby decides to learn from the dog instead. And so the baby never really learns how to walk, just ends up on all fours, and even starts chasing, you know, their own diaper, and living like that. Well, then it would be very much like Paul's describing here, right? There's these other people, they're chasing after their own selves. They're chasing after their own pleasures, and they're not being Christ-like, they're not growing. And so those people that we put in our lives as examples and who we spend lots of time with and hoping to grow and learn from them, we have to be careful to choose those people wisely. And I just want to encourage everyone here to find somebody in your life who's maybe more mature in Christ, has really walked out what it looks like to be Christ-like, and spend time with them, learn from them. And that's what we hope to do with, you know, small groups and these different discipleship groups as well, is to have people in place as leaders that can help you walk through those situations. Maybe they've been there, maybe they've had to experience that before, and they can help you, and they can also model what it looks like to be Christ-like. Provide a good visual for what Christ is talking about in his word. Because if we don't, we won't learn how to become a heavenly citizen like Paul talks about here. We'll just be caught up in things of this earth. I just want to leave off maybe with the story from my own life. In our small community, our family was the only Christians in the community until our new pastor moved in and his family. So I was the only Christian in my grade, the grade above me, and the grade below me. And what happened was, before that pastor and his young family with kids our same age moved in, my oldest brother had already walked away from God, and my sister became kind of apathetic in her walk with God. And when this new family moved in, it was really, I really feel that I probably wouldn't have kept following Christ if it wasn't for this family coming in to encourage and to challenge us, myself and one brother older than me, or just above me, in our walk with God. We can't do it on our own. That's the point of that story. And without this family coming in and being that support and helping disciple us, I probably would have walked down the same path as my oldest brother. And at the same time, too, when I had the opportunity to go to Bible college after high school, that was such a time of growth. You know, before then, I was so busy with things and not focused on my walk with Christ that I hadn't really grown or committed to growing. I did have, I suppose, a faith in Christ, and I did, you know, believe it, and I even had the desire to know God more, but I didn't actually take the time to walk that out. And so Bible college was an awesome time for me to go and to be challenged and to learn from others what does it look like to follow Christ and be challenged to get into the Word and to continue to grow. And so as I look at some of our youth that are going off to Bible college, that's exciting for me to see that they will have that year or maybe a couple years to get that foundation under them, on top of maybe a foundation that's already been building here. And so, you know, at the end of all this, what's important? That we know Christ, first and foremost. That we come to know Him and surrender everything to Him. But after that, what do we do? Do we just go back to the way we used to be living? Or do we commit to being changed and challenged to grow? And so I encourage everyone here, if you made a commitment to Christ, to get a part of a discipleship group, to be challenged by a group of believers in this body. And if you have been already, then maybe you'll look forward to next week when we talk about the opportunities to now maybe teach others and to do ministry in that sense and help disciple others. So just going to end in prayer here. Lord, thank you so much for this chance to be here as a body of believers and to come here and be reminded of the message of the cross, of your plan for our lives, Lord, of how you want to grow us and see us become more like you, Lord. And I pray that each one of us, Lord, wouldn't just assume that discipleship's going to happen or drawing closer to you is going to happen, but that we actively seek ways to grow. We seek to be part of people that will challenge us in our walk with Christ. And we seek to arrange our schedule and our lives in a way that we can see ourselves moving forward with Christ and drawing nearer to Him. And so I just pray this in your name, Lord, that you would lead and guide people to, Lord, where maybe you'd have them grow this year, which groups, and just cause, Lord, us to become more like you. In Jesus' name. Amen.